Canton's Morning News with Pam Cook continues now.
Well, there's a lot happening in Columbus, a lot of things that need to be accomplished. And of course, we always appreciate getting our update from State Senator Kirk Schering. He's on our WHBC Newsline right now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Pam. I'm great. And what a great celebration we've experienced here in Canton. I can't say enough good things about it. Twice the fun in 21, but double the quality. What a superb job that the Hall of Fame did and their staff and the Canton Regional Chamber of Commerce and their staff and all the volunteers. Everyone I'm talking to says this is the best celebration they've ever seen, and I have to agree. It just was superb.
I agree, too. And there were so many, I mean, the parade route, it was just an enormous amount of people. The enshrinement ceremonies were fantastic. Even though they limited the time, it still was great.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. You know, they were right to the point. They still were humorous. And as you said, that's that personal touch that we hear from them that we normally don't hear. I mean, that's what makes it so special. It was really, really good.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it for sure. No doubt about it. So I guess got to get back to business now, right?
Well, we got to get back to the dark side of things.
Yeah, exactly. So, redistricting.
Talk about politics. Okay. So, as you've been broadcasting, I have to say, before I get into what happened last week, is all this is being done pursuant to a constitutional amendment that was overwhelmingly supported in a bipartisan way in the General Assembly and then by the voters in 2015. And, of course, we do redistricting every 10 years. So, you know, that's why you haven't heard much about it until now. But pursuant to the Constitution, the governor called the first meeting of the Ohio Redistricting Commission last Friday, as you've been reporting. It's important to note that this commission, and we talked about the congressional redistricting, this commission is responsible for drawing the map for state legislative districts, not congressional districts. The calling of the commission was delayed, as you've been noting also on your news broadcasts, because the U.S. Census Bureau hasn't released the 2020 census data yet. And that's what is necessary to figure out how we're going to configure these districts. Normally, Pam, we get that census data in March, but because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we're not going to get until Thursday of this week, August 12th. And then the one other thing that everybody needs to know is that after we get that, the Ohio University is going to crunch the numbers with the current state legislative boundaries to give us some sense of direction on how the map should look based upon the new population numbers. So that creates a tight timeline for the redistricting commission. And this is what's causing the consternation, because pursuant to that that constitutional amendment that was passed in a strong bipartisan way, the redistricting commission must approve the map by September 1. And it requires, by the way, a bipartisan vote with at least one member of the seven-member commission of the minority party to vote yes. So there are some checks and balances in there. If that fails, Pam, then they have until September 15, and they have to introduce a redistricting plan. But the issue is the next phase, the one that has to be approved by September 15, and also has to have a public hearing, can be approved with just a mere simple majority vote. So it'd be nice if we could get this done in the spirit of bipartisanship, the way that we crafted the constitutional amendment, the way that we got it supported at the ballot, because that was the spirit for which it was put together, Republicans and Democrats coming together back in 2014 and 2015 to make this a bipartisan map, a map that was intended to avoid gerrymandering. And I'll just close out by saying this. There's been a lot of consternation, and I'm going to use a sports metaphor. It's like the two teams are in the locker room. They're anxious to get on the field and play, but the census data is not here yet. So we don't have a football to use yet. We can't do anything until you get the census data. So there's been a lot of criticism and again, a lot of frustration, and I get it. But the simple fact is you can't do anything until you get the census data.
Yeah, it just all feels so confusing. And I think that's where, you know, the average citizen just doesn't really understand the whole big process, because it is a big process.
Absolutely. But what I get a little frustrated with, and I'm going to be very candid with you, some of the people that we partnered with back in 2014 and 2015 are now using these phrases about gerrymandering and politicians picking their voters rather than voters picking their politicians and so on and so forth. Well, that's the reason we all came together. No one likes gerrymandering. By the way, we were smart enough to know, I'm a Republican, that the pendulum swings both ways. The Democrats, for instance, back in the 70s under Vern Reif, held control of the Ohio House for 22 years. Vern Sykes, my good friend from Akron, the Akron Camp Metroplex, said it well when he was on John Bozica's show a while back. He said, look, he says, this gerrymandering stuff happens with both political parties. But that's why they came together back in 2015 to say who got to put an end to it, because we knew at the end of the day, if we didn't, we would continue to do things that were not good for the parties and also not good for the people.
Right. Well, like I said, it can be confusing, and I know it's something that you're going to keep us up to date on. And real quick, you were wanted to talk about the distracted driving bill, because the AAA has been talking a lot about that, right?
Yeah. Right. And so there was a bill that was introduced in the House Bill 283, which makes it illegal to use an electronic device while driving. One thing important to note, Pam, it does, however, allow for those devices to be used when they're in a hands-free mode. So the bill was introduced in early May. It had two hearings in the House Criminal Justice Committee, after the budget concluded at the end of June. The legislature is not convening right now. So I don't know what the outcome will be on this. I will give you a little bit of background. Number one, we already have a law in Ohio that says you cannot use your mobile device, but it's a secondary offense.
Right.
In other words, for a law enforcement officer to pull you over, they have to pull you over for some other violation, an improper change of lane, that didn't stop for a stop sign, ran a red light, speeding, whatever it might be. So they can't pull you over because they saw you using your mobile device. And so that's what this particular bill will do. It will make it a primary offense. The other thing is that the legislature, and the environment of the legislature right now is they're very much not in the mode to do mandates right now. This COVID-19 has created a lot of different sentiments, and it's a shame because and not to digress too much, but I think we're divided more than ever. And why? I have no idea. We should be rallying around a crisis and figuring out how to solve it together instead of being divided. But anyways, that exacerbates all this stuff sometimes with legislative initiatives.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, too. A lot to talk about coming forward, and we appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, Pam. I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
What's next? Keep listening to find out, because the news never stops.
Get the facts.
And neither do we.
1480 WHBC and WHBC.com.